Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 25th episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how is your Friday night before Christmas going?
It's going good. Quite hectic, trying to get all the gifts and sent them off and Amazon, and you know, because I don't go outside. It's bad news for me. So, yeah, I do everything on Amazon. And in fact, I live my life online. So there you go.
That's on. My wife works remotely, and she did all the Christmas shopping. I'm like, that's awesome. And she's like, yeah, it all came from Amazon. So we've been getting day after day, package after package, one or two at a time, just getting left on our porch. Shopping's done, but it's not all here yet. So, missed you guys last week. Sorry about that. If you've been listening from the beginning, I got in a car accident back in September, and I made the mistake of going to the gym and walking on the treadmill, and it messed up my back again. So I was MIA last week. I was unable to record, but I'm back this week. Back's doing better. We'll say better. But we're doing something a little different. It's week 16. There's nothing to look forward to after this week. It's the fantasy championships. Speaking of which, Mike, how many you have like 50 leagues. So you're playing for like 49, right?
Yeah. So I'm doing all right. I got, a lot of the leagues that I'm in, right, they have a bottom rung and a top rung. So obviously the top rung is, you know, where you're a good team and you make the playoffs. The bottom rung is for those that sort of just pedal in and do their thing and, you know, are kind of a bad team. So I'm in one or two brackets in about 47 of those leagues in the championship game. So I'm somewhere. And then the big ones that I'm in, the really huge that cost some money, that rewards you with some good money, I'm in two of those championship games, the top rung.
Nice.
So I'm looking to make about $600.
Not bad at all. I won a league last week, which I didn't realize it was a week 15 championship, which talking to the guy, it's because it's a dynasty startup and he didn't want people getting shut down for the end of the season. And, you know, you have to like hang on to them on your rosters. He didn't want that causing any issues week 16. So it's actually week 15 was the championship. I'm there on like Monday night. I'm like, you know, the game's over. Cam Newton's arm, you know, farted out that end of game loss. I'm looking there. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm moving on in this league. I'm moving on in that league. I'm moving on. And I'm looking at this league and I'm like, it's on ESPN, which I don't normally play on. I play on Yahoo.
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm looking, I'm like, where do I find the schedule? I'm like sitting here. I'm like, desperately trying to find the schedule. And I'm like, I have no idea if this is a 2-week playoff, like Yahoo does or ESPN defaults to, if I won the league or who I'm playing next week. And I'm looking and looking. I finally messaged the guy and I'm like, did I win? Like, is that it? And he's like, yeah, you won. I'm like, oh, cool. All right. Like, I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know I was playing for the title. I wasn't sweating it. I'm playing for I'm in the top six in the fishbowl knockoff that we played in. I had the top score last week. And I had the top score the week before when I was on bye. So I feel pretty good about that. And then I am in my league with the guys from high school. So that's everybody's most important league, is the one with the people you've known longest. I'm playing for my second title in 3 years. And I'm currently set to lose a vast margin because I have all my players benched. So I have no projected thing. So my opponent can't know who I'm starting. So I have a little bit of a psychological warfare going on there.
I do that too. I totally do that.
There's no chance that I benched Eric Ebron or Drew Brees this weekend, but I still picked up back just to throw some additional psychological warfare on the pile. But
or another good thing that I do too, as you're speaking of psychological warfare, is play players put a couple players in there that you have really like no intent of playing at all. And, you know, they just really throw them off. And yeah, totally. I enjoy those techniques very much.
Oh man, the guy. So if we're talking week 17 techniques, I wouldn't do these, or week 16 techniques, I wouldn't do this in any other part of the season, but every day I've been picking up a handful of backups. I've been holding on to them because we have 48-hour waivers. And then today I cleared them out and picked up a whole new set of guys because waivers aren't going to clear on those guys before the champion, before games start, and they'll lock. And then I can have more guys. So I'm just holding guys off from my opponent because listen to all I kind of feel bad for him because he's got Lamar Miller, who probably isn't going to play. He's got Damian Williams, who's probably going to be behind Spencer. And then it gets real rough. He's got Tyler Boyd, got Josh Gordon, who got suspended this week, got Jordan Reed, who's out. I believe he was the Odell Beckham owner in our league as well. It's a keeper league. So he's got Isaiah Crowell on IR, Christian Kirk on IR. His whole team. Oh, he's got Aaron Rodgers. His whole team's falling apart. Wow. And I'm like, I'm like, feel bad for him. But then I'm like, this is how I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose to, let's see, he's starting Deshaun Hamilton and Robbie Anderson.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm going to lose. I can feel it in my bones. But who knows? We'll see how it goes. So yeah, what we're doing this week, since we're doing things a little bit differently instead of what we're looking for, because it doesn't matter what we're looking for, because everything's going to change by the next time we have a real fantasy game. We're doing some awards, some end-of-year awards. Mike and I are here in our finest tuxedos. Well, Mike's in a tuxedo. I'm in a nice evening gown from Chanel. Real nice low-cut number. I don't know. It's been a long week. But it's a nice award show, just a nice year-end review. Go over some rookies, some guys that surprised us in a good way, in a bad way. We're just going to run through it nice and loose. Not a lot of format to this other than let's see. We got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 awards to give out today, and only 5 of them are good. So we'll start with the first one you gave me when you texted me the list of them. It's a most impressive rookie. So who's your most impressive rookie? And just to be clear, everybody, this is for fantasy. Like, the most impressive rookie to me was Derwin James, but he doesn't qualify. So who's your most impressive rookie this year?
I'm going to go with and it's a little surprising, I think, for most folks. I think a lot of people probably have Saquon Barkley circled on their paper, but I'm actually going to go a little different and say Philip Lindsay.
That is who I had.
Oh no, are you serious?
Yeah, because in our conversation, you gave me a description about like least impressive. You're like, yeah, that's kind of what I expected to happen. So that cleared Saquon off for me. So I was like, oh, Philip Lindsay. So all right, you can talk about Philip Lindsay then.
Okay. So the rookie is out of Colorado, and at this point, he has 967 yards and 9 touchdowns, which, you know, is pretty good on its own. But if you're looking, and this is sort of why I picked Lindsay, if you're comparing those numbers to Saquon Barkley, who has 1,124 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Hold on, Mike. I'm going to stop you. Cut out there for a second. You said compare those numbers to who?
Saquon Barkley.
Of course. Okay.
Okay, so Barkley, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So Barkley has 1,124 yards and 9 touchdowns. But the biggest difference is that Lindsay has done his with 168 carries. Barkley has 209. Translated,
wow.
5.8 yards per carry for Philip Lindsay, and only 5.4 yards for Saquon Barkley. I only say only. I mean, 5 point anything is a great number, but
yeah.
So it's really that to me that shows Lindsay. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought.
I think we're having. Sorry, folks. I think we're having some technical issues here.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't say anything. I was letting you rock and roll.
Okay.
And then I think one of the biggest reasons for Barkley's, I guess, shine is because his receptions. He catches a ball like no other. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. Lindsay is not as good as Barkley, but they sort of just groomed him into the role, and he's doing it. And he's just getting better upon better upon better. And that's another thing that I really like about that guy. So it was definitely the obvious choice, Barkley, but I want to go Philip Lindsay, not only because he's strived to be better. He's the first undrafted rookie to make the Pro Bowl. That means really anything. But you know, it's those certain things that show me that this guy that came from nowhere and is doing what he's doing on the field, and it's comparable to Saquon Barkley on the ground, should be deserving of the most impressive rookie.
Oh yeah, I agree. And just you sort of knocked most of the numbers out that I was going to give. 6 games of 100-plus yards. He's been the RB2 or better 10 times, and that includes a game where he got kicked out after like 3 carries because he got in a fight. You can subtract that game from his total, essentially. And he didn't even start off the year as the big guy. He was part of a rotation. What got me for – where do you think he was picked? I looked back at the draft stock for some of this stuff. So where do you think his average draft position was?
Oh, God, this would be off the charts. obviously I don't think he was drafted in many drafts, but if he was, it's probably like in the 50th round.
379th overall. He was the 109th running back off the board on average. So you're talking deep, 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 deep leagues, and also probably a couple Denver leagues, you know, or you know where he probably got drafted was AFC West only leagues. That's a
yeah.
Oh man. So
carry 20 roster spots.
Yeah, 20 man roster AFC West only leagues is where he was drafted. So yeah, I had the same guy as Mike, so I won't belabor that point. But what I'll do instead is I'm gonna steal your thunder. I'm gonna jump out in front of you and talk about the least impressive rookie. This guy was taken as the 38th running back off the board, and he was a top 100 pick, 99th overall. He has 20 season for 44 yards, 1 touchdown. The second of his name, the worst of his name, Ronald Jones II, is the most disappointing rookie to me. Like I said, 23 attempts for 44 yards. He has not gotten a carry since week 13. He has a cool 1.91 yards per carry. Now, some people want to talk about the offensive line that he's running behind. Okay. But certified just a guy, Peyton Barber, is averaging 3.7 yards per carry behind that line. So that doesn't really track with the whole, hey, you know, this line's the problem, because Peyton Barber is not good. I mean, right, Mike? He's just.
Oh, yeah.
Just a guy. He's the guy that your second string running back gets hurt in week 6, so you go out and grab Peyton Barber. Like that's the caliber of player we're talking here, and he's averaging almost double the yards per carry behind the line. Ronald Jones is 5'11". So if he just got to the line and fell forward every time, he would average more yards per carry than he does with with this. So all in all, he's been a huge disappointment, especially when you look at that Peyton Barber, who is, I mean, not good. He's just certifiably just okay, is averaging way more yards per carry than Ronald Jones. So he's my disappointing rookie, especially because I got him in a handful of leagues. Just saying, hey, you know, it's all about the regular season, and the regular season did nothing. So.
Yeah. We definitely got the same guy. it's about as obvious, I think, as most impressive rookie being Saquon Barkley. maybe even less so, just because of the fact that we're talking about impressive. We knew Barkley was going to be impressive. So, yeah. I don't know if you mentioned, I think he did, that he was a healthy scratch for the first three games of the season.
He stinks out loud.
Like that, you know, just like he's just garbage right now. And I'm glad I missed him in a lot of my dynasty leagues. I think I got him once, but you know, these things happen where players like Ronald Jones are just sorry for the whole year. They're just weak. And then you're glad you didn't get him. And then the following year they come out and they like gangbusters and just blow it up. And you're like, man, why didn't I not pick him? So,
yeah, I mean, a lot can change between a rookie, because I think what happens is some guys, you know, they skate by on what they did in college and they're like, oh, this is different. And so between years one and two, they change a lot. Like, he didn't have such a disastrous rookie year, but I mean, Le'Veon Bell changed his whole body between his rookie and sophomore year. So he's not dead in the water yet, but not so great so far.
No, horrible. Just horrible.
Horrible. All righty. So yeah, same guy for most impressive, least impressive rookie, pair of running backs, Ronald Jones and Philip Lindsay. I have a feeling we're going to have the same answer here too, but I'll let you go first. Biggest surprise, good category.
So on the good category of biggest surprise, I'm going to go with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, we don't have the same guy. Nice. Okay.
So right now it's his sophomore season and he's just putting up not only great numbers, but he's putting up top 10 numbers with a player on the polar opposite side of him named Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
The thing too is if you're looking both at, and everybody knows how great Antonio Brown is, but Smith-Schuster has 15 more receptions, 91 more yards, and total yards of 1,234, comparable to what Antonio Brown has. I think Smith-Schuster would probably be the player of the year if he didn't have the 2-to-1 touchdown ratio that Antonio Brown has. So basically what's ended up happening is that Schuster is getting the receptions, the yards, and the catches are all more than Antonio Brown. But Antonio Brown is getting all the touchdowns. I think he has 12 on the year. Smith-Schuster has 6. So if you flip those, then you're probably looking at the offensive player of the year in Smith-Schuster.
I'm digging it. No, I'm really digging it. No, I'm liking these numbers. They're impressive. They're not things that I thought of.
And then I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens later on. I'm very intrigued, especially in dynasty purposes, because we both know that Ben Roethlisberger is sort of the end of the road for him. And what's going to happen with Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown? And on top of that, Brown is, you know, he's aging too. So Smith-Schuster is either going to blow it up or he's going to struggle. So it's going to be interesting to see what exactly happens in the next few years or so.
That's intriguing. No, I like that Juju pick, especially because the way that I was thinking back on it, on that pick in preseason, is I think I put him as like a soft bust, because I was like, there's no way he can produce across so much across from Antonio Brown, and hot damn, he has. He certainly has this year. And here's a question for you. I saw this on Twitter, so I can't take credit for it, but you're same price. Say you are the Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster owner, and you get Antonio Brown offered to you straight up. I mean, do you take it? I think before the season you get laughed out of the building. I think now you kind of think about it, and you probably would take it.
Yeah, you know, it's they're almost identical. Straight across at this point, just because it's one's getting all the scores and one's getting all the you know, different other categories. So I would take it just because Smith-Schuster is younger than Antonio Brown. But Yeah, like you said, if that was offered at the beginning of the season, that'd just be like in Spaceballs where Dark Helmet says ludicrous speed, and that would definitely be ludicrous speed right there.
They would go to Plaid.
Yeah, go to Plaid.
It would go to Plaid. All right. So my guy, and this is, I thought he was a shoo-in, and then he kind of convinced me that Juju is not a bad call either. 22-year-old gunslinger. I thought he would struggle without Alex Smith there to give him the tutelage, but he learned all he could learn. It's Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, he was drafted as the 110th player off the board as QB16. He's going to be QB1 next year. I mean, that's pretty clear. Maybe Rodgers, depending on what happens there. But he has a good shot of being QB1 this year after being QB16. But let me just rattle off some 6-6-4-4-4-4-4-3-3-2-2-2-1-0. He has 2 games this year. Multiple passing touchdowns. That's insane. And here's the thing. Here's the fun part. Both those games where he didn't have multiple passing touchdowns, he had a rushing touchdown. So he's not bottoming out on production. He hasn't had a game this year where he's gone for just disastrous. The closest he came was actually, oddly enough, last week. Kansas City went for 243-2. That's his floor. That's his freaking floor. That's some guy's ceiling. That's his floor. But he already has 2 6-touchdown games, which brings me to why he's the biggest surprise. His 45 passing touchdowns this year. First of all, he already has 45. I told the guy he was insane to expect 45 from him all year after the first couple of games. He's already got it with 2 games to go. His 45 passing touchdowns is already tied for the 6th most touchdowns in a season ever. And he still has 2 games to play. So with 2 games to play, he's a shoo-in to pass Drew Brees, who's got 46 in 2011. He's basically a shoo-in to pass Dan Marino, who's got 48 in 1984. And he's got a chance to touch Tom Brady's 50 in 2007. But there's no way he touches Peyton Manning's 55 when he has to go into Seattle this weekend. There's no way he throws for 10 touchdowns in the next 2 games. But this guy, he still hasn't gotten 16 starts in the NFL. His 16th start in the NFL will be this weekend, and he's already just blowing the league apart. His 45 touchdowns would be the league leader in 3 of the last 13 seasons, and he's not freaking done. That's what's killing me. Is this guy's already had a great season, 4,500 yards, 45 touchdowns to 11 picks, and he's still got 2 freaking games to go. That's my biggest surprise, Patrick Mahomes, especially because I told a guy, and he thankfully, thank God, did not listen to me. After the first couple weeks of the season, he said, I have Kirk Cousins and Pat Mahomes. What do I do? I was like, trade Pat Mahomes, keep Kirk Cousins. And thank God that man is smarter than me. Because Patrick Mahomes, far and away, biggest surprise for me this year.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought, including myself, that he's going to have a lot of accuracy issues. He's basically a rookie, which he is. I mean, he saw 1 game last year, and that was like week 17. So, I don't think a lot of people expected, and I know if anybody that says they expect what he's doing at this point with his stats say, they're lying, because no one expected what he's done. And I mean, I just think the guy is a great quarterback, and regardless of what numbers he's put up at this point, he reads the defense as well. He knows how to move around the pocket. He's not the type of player that goes, oh, there's an open lane, I'm just going to run with the ball. He's just amazing and way beyond his years experience. So, if you have him in dynasty leagues, or if you can keep him for next year, congratulations to you, because he's going to be a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to playing against him, because he's going to go for so much that I'm never going to own him anywhere. And I don't own him in any keeper or dynasty league. So, Patrick Mahomes, come see me in 8-9 years after you have an injury, and I feel like you'll bounce back, and then I'll draft you, buddy. But otherwise, I won't ever have you on any of my teams. Sorry. So your biggest surprise this year, bad category. Who would that be?
So my biggest surprise on the bad category, just because it's not really a surprise at all, and that is Todd Gurley. I think all that right. Everyone pretty much picked him as the number one running back off the board, especially when we all heard the news about Le'Veon Bell. As weeks went by, you know, it looked longer and longer like Le'Veon Bell was just going to be out for longer. So I think either you had him as the number one coming out of the gate, or you had him as the number one with Le'Veon Bell news as the season grew on. So pretty much the number one running back off the board. At this point, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. What's interesting is his yards are second. He's not even first in yards. That kind of surprised me. Second is nothing to sneeze at, but Elliott has that title there, and his touchdowns is first in the league. I think the only negative outside of his top 10 in receptions is I'd like to see more than his 49, but Los Angeles has tons of options. So it's just not bad. You know, 49 receptions is good, but he can do a lot better. But as I said, Rams, when you have 18 other players you can throw the ball to on the field, yeah, it's kind of hard to get more than probably 49.
Yeah, I mean, it's 49. It's a lot different than, you know, him getting 49 receptions on, like, the Colts or the Niners. And I pulled those two teams out of my hat. Not the teams that we root for, but a team with a more with fewer options ahead of him for catching the balls. I mean, he got all those catches being behind, you know, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Robert Wood. I mean, those are three of the top, you know, 25 wide receivers in the NFL right now. So it's hard to fault him for that. So, but yeah, he's a monster. You know, I'm not going to root against Todd Gurley. Touchdown regression, because I did that this year. I wouldn't say I rooted against it, but I would say I counted on it. But that offense is just too powerful.
You know, I think I know what you're kind of saying, because I do this too. Is like when you make a bold prediction and you're looking to see, okay, this guy isn't going to do what I think he's going to do, you start to get attached to that, and you're like, okay, you know, I knew it. I knew that he wasn't going to do this, and it's almost disappointing. But you know, all in overall sense, you know, we never want any of these players to do bad. But there are times where you're just like, okay, I put my hat on this guy to do this, and he's not doing it. Or you're rooting for him because you said, okay, well, I put my hat on this guy, and I wanted him to do this, and that's exactly what he's doing. I knew it, you know. So yeah, I get you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think that the more dynasty inclined among us kind of get that way about players, where they'll jam whatever information they have to fit whatever worldview they want to have about the NFL. So, you know, Zach Zenner pops off in the preseason, and they were a big Zach Zenner proponent 3 seasons ago. So they're like, oh, baby. Yep. Zach Zenner's year. And it's like, it's never going to be Zach Zenner's year, dude. Just give it up.
And yeah.
There's so many people do that specifically with Zach Zenner. I'm not even calling out a particular person. It's just like so many people think that double Z's is going to do anything in this league. But this guy pops against, like, he pops at the end of the year when everybody's tired, or he pops against, you know, future used car salesmen and insurance adjusters, which, as an insurance adjuster, all offense intended to those guys who get run over by Zach Zenner. My guy, so. I kind of hedged. You talked about him a little bit. I put him as fourth at running back before the year because I thought he would miss some games with the holdout. If I had my cojones, I probably would put him much later, but it's Le'Veon Bell. I honestly thought that Le'Veon Bell was going to come back in week 10. Well, I subscribe to the Lev Bell was going to make his point and sit out week one, first of all. And so I actually traded for him at the beginning of the year in a league or two. And that didn't work out. And then after that didn't do it, I said, okay, he's not going to let a year lapse. He's going to report in week 10. Well, that didn't work out either. He ended the year with zero snaps, zero carries, 0 yards, 0 targets, 0 receptions. He was a top 10 pick at worst in most leagues. Most people were sort of picturing a Ezekiel Elliott situation from last year where, he missed some games, but the games he was there was crazy. And to clarify, Zeke Elliott was not a a holdout. It was a disciplinary issue that was hanging over his head. At the same time, I thought Lev Bell was going to come back, but he didn't, which kind of killed me in a couple leagues because I made moves for him. But there's not a lot of stats to go with this because there's no stats to be had. He led the league in touches last season, or in 2017. So I'll give that stat. But he was my biggest surprise this year because I thought he was missing some games, but I didn't think he was missing them all. But I guess that's just because I didn't understand this little technicality in terms of franchising players and what it says in the CBA that he's a free agent next year. They don't own his rights anymore, and it would count as a second tag. So he would be making quarterback money if the Steelers tagged him again, and they're in no position or desire to do that with what James Conner has done this year before the last 2 weeks. So my guy's Lev Bell. Shocked me he didn't show up at all this year.
Yeah, it really surprised me too. I figured, okay, the most he's going to have, as you stated, 10 weeks. Once that 10th week comes, he'll sign his contract, he'll play it out, and then become a free agent and earn some money. Nope.
And I'm sure what we saw with Earl Thomas played into that. Where Earl Thomas showed up and broke his leg and screwed up his future value. So, to be clear, I don't begrudge Le'Veon Bell. You know, these guys have so much time in their gladiators and they, you know, destroy their body for our entertainment. And if he wanted to take a year off from getting his body destroyed and then get paid, all power to him. You know, I'm not anti-labor in that way. He's only got so many years to do it. So get that money, Lev Bell. It'll be from the Jets next year, I think.
Colts.
Oh, yeah, I saw that today. The top of the list is the Colts. I don't like that. I got Marlon Mack in some keeper leagues. I don't like that.
Yeah, that would definitely kill that value.
I would be disappointed. I would be perturbed. So next guy up, or next category up on the list, I'm sure we have the exact same player. And you just mentioned he might be Lev Bell's teammate next year. Who is your – I'll give you the entire floor for this guy because he's your boy. He's a quarterback of your team. I'm sure we got the same guy, comeback player of the year. Andrew, Andy, Drew, Luck.
Yeah. You nailed that one completely. And he's definitely my comeback player of the year. I really tried to avoid this just because I didn't want it to make a homer pick. But it's obvious as day that the guy is the comeback player of the year. Even in the NFL, we're talking fantasy, but even in the NFL, if he doesn't win comeback player of the year, I don't know what the hell the NFL is doing. But they like to snub the Colts, so like they did Darius Leonard. But anyways.
Oh, that is a travesty. And the Pro Bowl, that is a travesty.
I'm still shocked about that. How does the guy that leads in tackles by 22 and has all these other great numbers don't make the Pro Bowl? I just don't know.
They should be ashamed. Sorry.
It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. I was even telling my wife, I said, you know what's even interesting about this is not only is he not making the Pro Bowl, but what's on top of that, what might be interesting is the fact that he probably, which is a harder thing to do, is make all pro. So he'll be an all pro, which is harder to make than a Pro Bowl, but not make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. It's how does that work, buddy? Yeah. So yeah, I'll let you rock and roll. Let's talk about the man who came back, the man with the reconstructed shoulder, Andrew Luck. So give me some numbers.
Okay. And yeah, the great Twitter account. If you're not following the Andrew Luck Twitter account, it's pretty awesome.
The Civil War general, Andrew.
Yeah, Luck. The Civil War guy. Yeah. Luck has led the Colts to the verge of the playoffs. I mean, they've gone from a team that was, I believe, 5-11 last year to 8-6 now this year. And I honestly think it would be a better record if they weren't so tentative of putting Andrew Luck out there. Like the first four games, he wasn't throwing the ball deep at all. I mean, it was short passes. So I think they were like, okay, let's just test the shoulder for a couple games. And then if everything looks fine, then we'll be in full drive and we'll just implement the full playbook. But let's just take it easy right now. And so they lost games because of it. And being 8-6 after, you know, being, I think, 1-3 at the time, just those type of things that have shown that he's definitely not only back from the surgery, but playing at the top level of quarterbacks. I think definitely the offensive line has helped him. He hardly gets sacked. And just the protection of Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson, who's made the Pro Bowl. Just those couple players alone have really developed and has shown that they can put a wall up for him. So he's got a lot of time back there to pick and choose, but he's accurate. He does, you know, it's one thing to have a quarterback have time to throw the ball. It's another thing for that quarterback to deliver the ball, to pick the right players to throw to, those kind of things. And he's doing all that well. So after all that, you know, he's, I think that he's third in passing yards at 3,759 and second in TDs with 34. And as I was saying before, that comes in with a short season due to the fact that those first four games he was sort of limited. So I think he would probably, and it's hard to say because you never want to project anything because you never know, but he could really be up there around Mahomes' numbers if he had played the full, whatever we're in, with 15, 16, whatever week we're in now. If he played all those week games like he did after week four, we wouldn't know where he is. And he definitely could be with Mahomes type number. So for all those reasons, that's why he's my comeback player of the year.
Yeah. And to your point about him getting, I mean, babied, let's not put kid gloves on it. He was babied at the beginning of the year. Remember the Hail Mary? They brought in the backup they brought in Jake Brisket.
Yep.
And everybody lost their minds.
Yeah.
This was back before, Cam Newton did that a few weeks ago, but it felt like that was kind of like the turning point, like Ursay or the higher ups were like, hey, he's a franchise quarterback. Treat him like a franchise quarterback. Like don't, we're paying him a lot of money. Don't mess around, you know, with these dinks and dunks, like push the ball downfield. So yeah, that was my guy. I dug up nothing cause I knew he would be your guy too. So I just let you have him.
Wow. I mean, you were certain on that. I mean, you didn't even like give me a chance. I mean, not in a bad way, but like you were so certain it was Andrew Luck that you're like, okay, I'll just announce it for you.
I knew it was boy. It's the quarterback of your team. He's great. He's great for fantasy. I mean, his future was in doubt. I mean, there was reports that towards the end of last year that he might never play again. It was a serious question. So if it was, I put myself in your shoes. I'm like, okay, you know, if I was Mike, who would I choose? Andrew Luck, and he was my guy too. But I knew he would be yours. So it was a straight up and down easy pick. So this next one, this is a category that I am actually, I've never seen this before. So it gave me a little bit of a difficulty. Trying to find a player, but it was the just go away already. So why don't you describe what that?
So the just go away already player is someone that makes someone's roster year in, year out. But every season he's on the field, you're just like, how does this guy get drafted? Why is he drafted? But you know that come next season, there's going to be all this hype and hoopla over this guy, and he's going to fall somewhere, fifth round, whatever round, and going to be drafted again until, you know, the end of day. So it's that guy. It's that guy where you're just like, just go away. You suck. You shouldn't be on anybody's roster, but every year, here you are.
All righty. So with that introduction, who's your guy?
My guy, granted, okay. So I did this last week, and probably should have updated it, but I don't care. I still think he should go away. And that guy is Derrick Henry.
I was going to put one of the later awards to be Derrick Henry. So yes, what were you going to say about Derrick Henry before he made us look like fools?
Yeah, so the last two games we've seen what Derrick Henry can do, but up to that point, and I still have no faith in this guy, even though he's done it back to back weeks. I still think he's awful. He's a player that the Titans gave up on after I think the first two or three weeks of the season, and said, "Okay, Deion Lewis, even though you're small and you're lightweight, you're going to be our main ball carrier, and you're going to carry the ball first and second down, and we'll have Derrick Henry, big bruising type running back, come and relieve you. And since he can't catch the ball, you're going to also play third down too." So for the most part, he wasn't getting any types of carries. I mean, he was getting like 10 carries a game and doing absolutely nothing with it. We're talking like Ronald Jones kind of numbers. But because he was signed as this huge rookie, has a fat contract, all these kind of other different things, comes from Alabama, they're gonna force feed him. They're gonna force feed him. So 2.3 yards per carry almost every other game. And then all of a sudden he explodes and runs through the Jaguars like they spotted somebody on the field and they went to tackle him and he disappeared on him. It was the most horrendous tackling game I've ever seen. I don't know if most, but definitely up there. And then you have last week. I didn't watch last week's game, but I know he did well. So we'll see what happens this week, but it looks pretty good for him. I mean, they have the Giants this week. The next week, I think. And then it's just one of those things that, is he doing good because he's playing against bad teams, or is he doing good because he's figured it out? And I think these next 2 weeks we'll see. But at this point, I just want him to go away. I don't like him. I never will. And we'll see what happens next year. But you know, in the fantasy football magazines, these 2 weeks are going to make like the highlights. They're going to be the pros. They're going to be like, well, yeah, he sucked for 12 weeks, but in the later part of the season, he really turned it on and he put up such and such numbers, and he's a great value. So again, he'll be drafted.
Oh yeah. And you'll get one of two analysis on him. You'll get the guys who look at season long numbers and go, you know, you can't really judge, you know, the sequence, but you know, he got the carries, he got the ball, he got the yards per carry, ignoring he had a 99 yard run in there. And you know, when, you know, on the balance of the season, you know, he produced as a running back two or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the other kind of guy so you get the all the way statistical guy, and then you'll get the all the way just pointless hype guy. That's like, you know, when you got a back like Derrick Henry, what you got to do is you got to just keep feeding him the rock. You just got to keep giving him the ball. Just give him the ball, give him the ball, and eventually good things are going to happen. And I think the Titans are going to keep giving him the ball. They're going to get back to a ground and pound offense. And, you know, that's a recipe for success. Take the ball out of Marcus Mariota's hands. Let it turn it over to that defense. Give Derrick Henry 20 carries a game. Boom. There you go. And that's why I think Derrick Henry is going to be a huge play this year. You'll get one of those two.
Yep.
Ignoring, notice that they didn't talk at all about how Derrick Henry's not good.
Yeah.
And I think I remember saying he runs like somebody shoved a stick up his butt and is controlling him via the stick. He runs so upright and so just like there's no elusiveness to him. It's just like he just gets the ball and goes. And I mean, I guess that works when you're a massive monster of the man, but it didn't work for most of this year.
No, and it didn't. And when you're playing the Jags and the Giants in back-to-back weeks, you know, it's we'll see if I don't know who they're playing this week, but
Washington.
Yeah. Well, yeah, another sort of soft defense right now. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see what happens, but yeah, I think this is all just good timing on his part.
Yeah, I think so. It's I talked earlier in the year about the good timing on his part for his long runs last season, where it was like the Colts defense was basically already on the bus. The Seahawks defense was basically already on the bus. And he had 270-yard and a touchdown runs. It was like both were, the game was two or three scores different and there was less than 100 seconds left in the game. It was just like, come on, dude, don't do this. And that's sort of how it feels now. But on the balance of the season, it's like, come on, dude, don't do this to fantasy football people. Don't make us argue about you for another offseason.
You're right. Yep. And he's going to.
Yeah. So my guy, he actually kind of listened. He went away. So I'm not going to talk about him. It's LeGarrette Blount. I was like, he's not good. Why does he get so many carries? Like, they had Kerryon Johnson there. Like, what are you doing? And then he's taking a backseat to Zach Zenner, which tells you how good he is. So I'll talk about a guy that I wrote all the notes down for last week, and then he went on IR with a toe injury, but he does this more year in and year out, and that's Isaiah Crowell. He had one long run against the Browns, or when he was on the Browns a couple years ago, and that sort of boosted his stock for the last couple years. But Isaiah Crowell's not good. That's the thing, is he's bad. He did the same thing this year. He had two good games. He had a good game week one. He had a great game in week five when he ran for 219 yards. But outside of those games, he topped 49 yards once. Once. So on the year, he topped 49 yards three times. That's it. He's a bad running back. And I mean, he's a bad running back. Hopefully they move on from him last year, them being the Jets, and get a better back in there. But it feels like every year Isaiah Crowell gets some hype, gets some draft stock, gets some this, gets some that, and then he does nothing with it. I mean, he had like 900 something yards in 2016, and that was the only year he returned any sort of decent value. It's he's just a junkie garbage man who will give you a couple big games throughout the year, and then everything else you're just bashing your head against the wall, just like asking yourself, you know, why did I start him in week 10 when he had 7 carries for 19 yards, or week 7 when he had 11 carries for 29 yards? Because you're hoping for that week 1 or week 5 where he combined for, you know, 321 yards, three scores. But I mean, those 321 yards, he only had 685 on the season. So you can do the math there. It's almost 50% in two games. And so it's just like, go away, Isaiah Crowell. Just get out of here. Just leave us alone. So that's more in the spirit of your title than LeGarrette Blount, who was bothering me because he was blocking Kerryon Johnson. And my best friend and your best friend, the meme where they have the painting of the ending of the Rocky movie with the muscle arms with Carl Weathers. You know, it says like Colts fans, 49ers fans, and in the middle it says Frank Gore. I wanted him to go away because he was blocking Kenyon Drake. But the guy that better fits your profile is Isaiah Crowell, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick because, he's another one of those players that somehow get drafted every single year, and every single year he just disappoints. So it's, yeah. What do you think? Because you're talking about Jets running backs and stuff. Do you think Elijah McGuire is the type of running back that they'll settle on, or do you think they'll go into the draft and try to pick someone up early in the first, maybe one or two rounds?
I think they'll try to find somebody else in the next one or two rounds. I think Elijah McGuire is better as like a, change of pace back guy, sort of like a ball catcher sort of guy. And real quick, I just want to defend myself. I said Rocky meme. I do know that it's Predator. I'm sorry. Please do not at me. The thing that I was referencing is from Predator, not not Rocky. So so I think that yeah, I think that he's more of a change of pace guy. I think he's a better secondary back than a primary back, and hopefully they get a guy to go over him next year in the draft or in free agency. I'm not ruling out the Jets for what's his face, Lev Bell. The Jets. I know you want him on the Colts, but I kind of want him on the Jets for Marlon Mack's sake.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. And the way Marlon Mack is playing, he's sort of, you know, putting his stamp on the team and saying, okay, you don't need to go spend all this money to bring in Le'Veon Bell because I got you. And I don't know. I think that they just might go and spend the money elsewhere. I think it's a good chance now that way the Marlon Mack has developed.
That would be interesting, and that would be probably a good use of funds, just given how running back tends to go in this league. You know, they that's basically running backs are the epitome of not for long. So yeah. So yeah, we'll see. If I was the Colts, I wouldn't want to spend the money on Lev Bell, even though I understand you know, the talent is there. It's just the money outlay that he's going to want. I'm just not interested.
Yeah. Yeah, man, we'll see. But I mean, it's also so hard to pass up someone like Le'Veon Bell. I don't know.
Oh yeah. He's unlike most players in the league. Bill Simmons likes to talk about unicorns in the NBA, but he's a unicorn in the NFL. He is a very, very good player, and a very diverse and skill set. So, all right. So next one up, we got four more awards. Just to recap what we've got so far: most impressive rookie, we both had Philip Lindsay. Least impressive, we both had Ronald Jones. Biggest surprise, good. Mike had Juju Smith-Schuster. I had Patrick Mahomes. Biggest surprise in a bad way or in a neutral way was Todd Gurley for Mike and Lev Bell for me. Just to be clear, I did not understand what Mike was saying when he gave me these categories. And we talked about it last week, and I said, I'm just going to stick with Lev Bell. So if the reasoning doesn't match, that's why. Comeback player of the year, it's the boy, Andrew Luck, the man, the general. The go away already players, Isaiah Crowell and Derrick Henry. Next up, we're going to go to the waiver wire and gloat about the best pickups of the year. So who do you think was the best waiver wire pickup of the year, Mike?
So because this position is not talked about very often and it's almost a dying breed at this point in fantasy football land, I'm going to go with a tight end.
With a fullback? Kyle Juszczyk, a fullback? Kyle, you playing fullback only?
Hey, does he still have the same amount of what was it, the receptions?
Oh, no, it was say he had the same amount of receiving yards as the top player on the Bills, but that's gone now with Robert Foster. Gone? Yeah, that's gone now. That was a fun thing I tracked to like week 6 or 7 and then the
Bills. Yeah, you had to go for a while. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But no, not who's check. We're gonna go with Eric Ebron, and I think
my boy.
Yeah, he wasn't drafted, and I mean, he was probably drafted in maybe what, probably 50% of the leagues at first, maybe a little bit less, but definitely a major waiver wire pickup on a lot of players. I think he, in my home league, he was the first tight end grabbed after week one. And from then on, he just never looked back. I mean, obviously it helped that Jack Doyle was out for most of the season and will be out for the rest of the season. So that helped him quite a bit. But even when Jack Doyle was in, he still played tremendous football. He still got touchdowns and receptions and was doing what he was doing. Now, if he can just hang on to the ball Oh my God, does he drop the ball? Way too often. God, he had right up the seam. He had a pass that Andrew Luck laid right into the bread basket as he was running. I mean, it was just one of those beautiful pass and catch type of situations where you know that because they're in full sprint and has the ball that he's going to go, you know, a long ways, if not for a touchdown. And he drops the ball and he's just like, oh my God, dude, catch the ball. But outside of those situations, out of those farts, I should say, he's just awesome. Six in receptions for tight ends, placing fifth in yards and first in touchdowns. And as I was saying, battling Jack Doyle for all this for six games, while Doyle was healthy. So yeah, my waiver wire pickup of the year, because I had to fit a tight end position in there because I wanted to, is Eric Ebron.
No, he was in my top three. What I did was I looked back at a couple of Waleed's waiver wire articles in the first couple of weeks. Eric Ebron was 34% owned after week one. So he was, to your point, not drafted in a lot of leagues. My guy, you went with the homer tight end. I'm going to go with the homer tight end. He was drafted in only 37% of leagues and is one of the few tight ends to be kicking Eric Ebron's butt up and down the field. It's George Kittle. Yeah. George Kittle, like I said, 37% owned after week one, and he is a top five tight end. He's entered the conversation of a guy that you put in your tight end slot and don't think about it. He's not at the Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz level, but given how Gronk has struggled this year, he's kind of gotten into the Gronk level. You know, he's definitely top five, along with Gronk, Ertz, Kelce, and Ebron. And just, he had 210 yards and a touchdown a couple weeks ago, but he's been a top 10 tight end in all but five games. So he's been at nine times. He had one disastrous game back in week two, but since then he's been usable every single week, week in, week out. He is the 49ers receiving core. It's him. Dante Pettis has come on in the last few weeks, but Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, Pierre Garçon, Garrett Celek, I'm trying to think of the other scrubs on the 49ers. It's not a good receiving core, and George Kittle is the crown jewel of that receiving core. And he's done it with three different quarterbacks this year. He did it with Jimmy G to start the year. He did it with CJ Beathard in the middle, and now he's doing it with Nick Mullins. So he's quarterback proof. He's going to be I'm starting to think he's going to go ahead of Gronk next year. If Gronk even plays, Gronk's probably retiring, but he's going to be a top three tight end next year. And he was free for the taking before week one in 63% of leagues. So he's my big waiver wire pickup. And just to defend both of us, I didn't talk about Philip Lindsay because we already talked about him. He was owned in 4% of leagues after week one. So, wow. Yeah. So in all fairness, he's probably the best, but I had Kittle, Ebron, and Philip Lindsay as my top three because, I didn't want to step on your toes on this one. So, yeah. So those guys waiver wire pickup, especially when you think about how tight end is, if you don't get one of those top guys, you're just churning through the position and trying to hope for that. The production from last week goes through this week. I mean, we've said CJ Uzoma has been a sleeper for like six straight weeks. And he's had like one good game. Yep. I mean, that tells you what the position is like, is it's just garbage, which by the way, nice sleeper this week, CJ Uzoma. I'm not even kidding. But yeah, that's and I agreed with you. I mean, I wrote about him every week. I'm like, this is the week. And I mean, we talked about who Matt LaCosse, Chris Herndon, I had somebody ask me today if they should start Jeremy Sprinkle, who's the third string tight end for Washington, getting thrown to by the fourth string quarterback. It's like tight end is a mess. And for week one, for you to pick either Ebron or Kittle to be able to pick him up and just lock and load all year. I mean, Ebron has had a few duds in the last few weeks, but I mean, for most of the year, he was just rocking and rolling. He was just killing the game week in and week out. So both good calls, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And both from our team, so which makes it even a bonus.
Yes, sir. All right. This next one up. This is another category I hadn't seen before, but I like it. It's the best waiver wire dump, the guy that you ditched. And it you know, before you ditched him, it was gray out. It was, you know, just dark all the time. It felt like storm cloud followed you everywhere. And, you know, you dumped him and all of a sudden the skies opened up. It was sunny. It was 75. All the birds were singing. Everything just made your life so much better the moment you clicked drop player. So, Mike, who was that player for you this year?
And since I've talked about two Colts, I'm going to talk about a former Colt. And that guy is Philip Dorsett.
Ah.
He was, I believe, the 27th selection of Indianapolis 4 years ago. And they saw him for about 2 years. And decided that we don't really like you. We're going to ship you off to New England, and we're going to get Jacoby Brissett, which to this day I still think is a better trade. I think the Colts got over New England on this trade, yeah. Even though Brissett only has played like 13, 14 games or whatever he's played. That's how bad Dorsett has been in week one. And this is where it all started. He caught 7 passes for 66 yards and a touchdown. And being on the Patriots, of course, Tom Brady, that got a lot of people excited. And I don't really blame people for attaching themselves to a former first-round pick who looks good on the field, doesn't produce. But plays for the Patriots, and at that time, they had a depleted wide receiver core. Edelman was out. Philip Dorsett comes in and looks like, you know, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy that Tom Brady is going to throw to. So the following week, he caught 5 passes for 44 yards. So the first two weeks, 12 receptions, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Got everybody drove to
hot and bothered.
Yeah, just boom, this guy is the man. And after that, nothing. Julio Edelman came back. They picked up Josh Gordon in a trade. See you later, Josh Gordon. Peace be with you, whatever you need. Yeah. If you're in a dynasty owner with Josh Gordon, you probably can release him. And so it just when all those pieces came back, Gronk in and out of games and all that kind of stuff. And plus the fact that he's just really not all that talented except for his straight line speed, it became an easy dump, and basically nobody heard of him again. And he was catching maybe 1 or 2 balls a week, but definitely not enough to keep him on a roster or even start. So boom, massive drop. And that's why I have him as my waiver wire dump of the year.
All right. I like that one because he had a nice story. You know, he did start off hot and everybody was wetting their pants over him. And then everybody could not get him off their rosters fast enough. Technically, he's the drop of the year, but he was not on any of my rosters because I, like Cassandra, warning the Trojans to not let the horse in. I warned people, do not draft James Jimmy Graham. Do not draft him anywhere. The Packers have not had a good tight end in like 5 years. The Packers do not use the tight end. But people got attached to the name. People got all excited. They got attached. Oh, he had so many touchdowns last year. Remember Jimmy Graham in New Orleans? Oh my God. Just think, Jimmy Graham with another Hall of Fame. No. He was bad. He was very bad. Jimmy Graham was the 4th tight end off the board this year. So tight end 4. Everybody said, you know what? He'll have some ups, he'll have some downs, but I'm gonna bank on that Jimmy Graham upside. You know what that Jimmy Graham upside got you? In half point PPR, he has not had a single top 5 game this year. His peak play. So if you only took the best game from each player each week, each year, he did not even reach his tight end four draft stock. He wasn't even a top four tight end once, is what I'm saying. And everybody was just gaga over Jimmy Graham for no good reason. And he's still 79% owned. And the reason that he's my waiver wire, or my, you know, hot drop guy, is that, you know, you could have dropped Jimmy Graham and gotten, you know, a more upside tight end like a George Kittle, like an Eric Ebron, if you had ditched him after week one, in which he had one catch for, I'm sorry, he had two catches. I'm so sorry I short sold Jimmy Graham, and for that, I'm truly sorry, Jimmy. He had two catches for 8 yards, not one catch for 8 yards, when he was the tight end 40 on the week. If you dropped him after that game, you could have gotten George Kittle, you could have gotten Eric Ebron, and you could have been a happy camper. Instead, what you got is a guy whose average weekly positional finish is the 21st tight end, and who has finished outside the top 12 eight times and has finished inside four times. And yes, that doesn't add up to 15 weeks because he did miss games as well. So it's been a fun ride, in air quotes, for Jimmy Graham this season. And he would be the ideal guy to drop because he's a onesie. Tight ends are very fickle, because if you're not top 12, you're useless. If you're a running back 15 on the week, still have some value. If you're a tight end 15, it's sideways there for you. So he's my drop of the week, just because you got that stink off your roster. And one last thing. So this season, Jimmy Graham has, so this is for tight ends who had at least five targets. So there's a threshold there. He's been above average. He scored more fantasy points than a random tight end to get at least five targets three times. So that tells you everything you need to know about how James Graham has gone this year. And he was my drop player for this season.
I had so much hope for him this year. I'm probably that guy that you talked about, how he was, oh man, touchdown city.
They oh no, trust me.
Around him and nothing.
You're not. I'll call him out. I won't call him out by name, but he's a guy that I've been talking football for years, and we have had so many conversations, and they all feel like tight ends. Somebody on the shout out to the somethingawful.com forums. I won't say who it was, but we get in arguments, and I usually end up right. So yeah. So next guy up, it's going to be our least valuable player. This is the guy who kind of, excuse my French, pooped the bed. Sorry to use such harsh language, but he pooped the bed and was just completely useless. So who would that guy be for you?
You know, I struggled with this a little bit because I know the talent is there, and I hate to use players that were injured, especially in like six of the games that they've already played. But even when he's on the field, it just seems that he's not really doing what we would like him to do. And I don't know if it's the offense, I don't know if it's the quarterback, but this guy was probably definitely the rookie of the year last year before he tore his ACL. And that's Dalvin Cook. And a lot of the reason why I picked him as the disappointing or least valuable player of the year is because he was a first-round pick, probably a very high first-round pick, and has done nothing. He's had one 100-yard game. That was last week against Miami, where he rushed 19 times for 136 yards, which, you know, is your typical, I wouldn't say typical because that's not really typical of you know, any running back, but what you kind of expect out of Dalvin Cook, you expect those big, huge games, and he didn't deliver. Even in the receptions totals, the most he had all season was 8, which is pretty good, but he had only one game of 8, and then he had one game of 6, and after that it was under 5. So just even the receiving department, it wasn't very good. And therefore, with just the numbers alone and the fact that he didn't really produce much of anything, the least valuable player is Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, he's come on in the last few weeks, but literally it's been the last few weeks. But before then, he in the first 11 weeks of the season, he didn't turn in a top 20 performance at running back in half PPR, and he's only turned in 2 top 10 performances, and they were in the last 2 weeks. And if you drafted Dalvin Cook as high as you did, to your point, he probably tanked your season unless you got lucked out on another running back. Also when you consider that he missed, he missed a massive chunk of the season, pretty much the middle, 5-6 games of the season he missed. So Dalvin Cook, he's been, his best 2 games have been in the last 2 weeks in the fantasy playoffs. And if you what freaking good is that, because you probably didn't make the playoffs. So yeah, I like that call. That's a good call. My guy is also a running back. And it's a running back that he was on the Battle Royale episode. I warned everybody not to draft him. I said, please, everybody, what are you doing? He's old as dirt. He's on a bad team. But everybody said, shut up, Jeff. We're drafting the 26th pick in the draft and the 15th running back. And that is LeSean Shady McCoy. So Shady McCoy, I can understand the appeal of wanting to draft him on the name, because that long ago that he was just a rock and roll set and forget every week starter and superstar. He was up there at the top of the league. But he scored a touchdown. 2 touchdowns on the year, both in the same game. He had one game in week 10 for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he didn't score in any other games, and he did not rush for more than 75 yards in any other game. He totaled more than 100 yards a couple times, but it was close with his catches. It was actually that 113 rushing yard game and then a game where he had combined with 23 receiving yards, 85 rush yards to get over 100 yards, but he didn't have over 100 yards in any other game this season. And he scored both of his touchdowns in one game. What that all adds up to is that he has had 1 top 9 performance this season, or top 10 performance, and he's had 2 top 20 performances, the second one being number 19. This is for the guy that went running back 15 off the board, and he, on average, his season has finished as the 40th running back on the week. So he's my bust. He's my least valuable player. He's the guy that... if you took Dalvin, you could have conceivably, there's a world, Mike. There's a world. There's at least one player out there. Round 1, Dalvin Cook. Round 2, LeSean McCoy. Oh, baby, let's do this. Rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, there's at least one guy that did that, and that guy is probably not still playing because he probably rage quit halfway through the season. But that's my guy. That's Shady McCoy. He's the least valuable player. So... much like the Academy Awards ends with the best picture, much like award shows end with MVP. That's where we end up at MVP. So, Mike, who is your most valuable player?
Yeah, this one's going to be pretty boring, and we covered him already. And that's Patrick Mahomes. So that's sort of a quick ending to that. Just everything we talked about, his touchdowns, the way he plays the game, the fact that he can look one direction and pass in the other direction, doing no look passes that I've never seen a quarterback do before ever.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Just his side arming, just everything he can do on the football field. And I hate picking players that are the obvious choices. Like, that's why I skipped over Saquon. But I just think that Patrick Mahomes is just easily the MVP. most consistent player. Just everything about him is awesome. And yeah, that's why.
Pat Mahomes is my guy too. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good night. I mean, he's the clear MVP. He's a monster. He's doing things that, you know, we don't see anybody else do. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the time that I was going to use to talk about Patrick Mahomes to talk about the freaking Marcus Mariota fans that I saw all over Twitter when people were posting videos of that ridiculous Pat Mahomes no-look pass. One guy said that Marcus Mariota does it at least once a game. People are like, dude, come on. What are you talking about? So he came back with receipts. He came back with evidence. And every video he posted, all it was Marcus Mariota looking off a safety and then turning and throwing it to somebody else. It wasn't even a true no-look pass. This guy's, see? Look at my boy Marcus. Look what he's doing. Mariota, he can do this. Because Titans fans are insane. They don't understand their team. Like they think Marcus Mariota is just a world beater, and he's not. He's not good. And he's all right. He's better than a lot of quarterbacks, but he's not this world beater that you guys think he is. So the fact that you guys don't even understand the difference between a no-look pass and looking off the safety or looking off the – I mean, in one video, he looked off a linebacker. So, sorry, he looked off a linebacker in one. But he's looking off secondary defenders. And if you don't understand the difference between that and a no-look pass, you don't have to tweet. You don't have to post. You don't have to go out there and say stuff because it doesn't – you're making yourself look bad. You don't have to have a take on everything. You don't have to defend Marcus on everything. It's okay. He's a big boy. He can handle himself.
And, you know, I think he made it even worse for Marcus Mariota because if he's saying he's done it at least one time per game, I would definitely hope that your starting quarterback is looking off safeties and linebackers more than once per game.
You know what? As somebody who watched Colin Kaepernick for years, don't take that skill for granted. that man locked on his targets. Don't get me wrong. He should be in the NFL, but that man locked on his targets and did not let them go. So yeah, that is a skill to be had. Definitely. So, real quick too, a name popped up that was for those who haven't listened back before, we had a Battle Royale episode where we Mike, myself, Waleed and Evan from the website, we picked some bones. We took some points of contention and one of these, Mike, was it you that I argued with Alshon Jeffrey about or who was that I argued with?
It was me.
It was you. Okay. So I found when I was looking up for this, just pulled this up. This isn't a gotcha. This was I wonder what Alshon's doing. FFstatistics.com. Wonderful website. It's amazing. If you can think of a query, you can put it in there and they'll get you the information. So I looked this up on FF Statistics. So the big fight was, and it wasn't just you. I was the outlier. Waleed had him 25th. Kevin, who runs Beersheet, he's second. Evan had him at 21st. I had him at 37. Everybody said he was crazy. You know, I say people hated Jesus for his message too, but he was right. The average finish for Alshon Jeffrey on the year in a game that he actually plays, wide receiver 36.
Eek.
Vindication, baby. Woo!
I would have probably, and I did, since we did the Battle Royale, throw 35 to me. It's even still at this time is like ridiculous. But what can you can't debate the fact that he's 35. So
yeah, and it, I mean he weeks, but he's hurt you more than he's helped you. And just to prove that I'm not here to just pump up my own thing, let's pull up the guy who I had ranked as, I think, wide receiver 25 or something. Oh, baby. Average finish, wide receiver 58, Nelson Aguilar.
I had high hopes for him, too. He started off well, too. He could have probably made the waiver wire.
Boy. So that's a couple of wraps there on that NFL season. So it's been a fun season. And we'll keep, we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. We'll keep posting podcasts. We're going to go away a little bit, probably after the playoffs, just because I think Mike and I would go crazy trying to be like, so the Titans cut their backup guard. What do you think that's going to do for Derrick Henry next season? Like there's going to be a definite dead period where we're going to have nothing to talk about, but we'll stick around through the playoffs, talk the playoffs. Next week, we'll talk a little bit of 2019 stuff. I already have some sleepers put together, I think, for wide receiver. I was thinking about him because, full disclosure, I drive 3 hours a day for work, so I have not a lot to do but sit and think. So, so I think we'll have some 2019 previews, some sleepers, maybe some breakouts, some top, ranked players at each position, players to watch. And then we'll talk some playoffs. So Mike, thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate you accommodating my broken back and being flexible. And I think that'll do it for this week. So thanks for listening, folks. Have a good one. Mike, anything you want to talk about, you want to plug before we sign off?
No, not really. The only thing I really have to say is go with your gut for your fantasy, either semifinals or finals. And best of luck to everyone out there. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Very good call. Do not overthink it this weekend. Dance with who brought you. Don't start Jeremy Sprinkle. I think that's one of my titles. Don't start Jeremy Sprinkle.
I like that.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. If you celebrate it, Merry Christmas. If you don't celebrate it, have a happy long weekend off. Thanks, everybody. Bye.